are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Join me now in this time of prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous things that you have done, for your hand in creation demonstrated a mighty work. The life of the Christ as he lived on the earth demonstrated a marvelous thing. The death on the cross, a marvelous thing. The resurrection of Jesus, a marvelous thing. Salvation given to each of us, a marvelous thing that you have done. Thank you for another glorious day that you have blessed us with. The privilege of worship, the songs, the scriptures, the prayers. And now, Lord, we need your word. Speak to us and through us in this moment of sharing. Bless the words in our mouth, the meditation on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look this morning, thinking and praying about what God would have us to know today, and thinking about all of the things we looked at last week in the resurrection, what it proved. I wanted us to see another benefit from the life of Christ, because I want to look at the life of Christ in a way over the next few weeks. So I just pulled one of the lessons that Jesus taught. I want to share that with you this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Familiar words in this verse. You've heard it before. As a matter of fact, this is probably the second or third time that Jesus has spoken these words. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, it really begins at verse 22, but I'm going to pick up the reading at 25 and go through 31. And there Jesus says, "And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of double mindful. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning from the subject, anxious, or anxiety, should I say, free living. Anxiety, free living. If you want to know the benefit of Jesus, you know, there are a lot of people who over the last little while have been migrating away from the church. And it's a simple mistake. Because you get out there in that world and you don't have no help, you're going to be messed up. People in the church are messed up. And people outside the church really messed up. We live in such a society where the sales of drugs, legal and illegal, are at an all-time high. More suicides are occurring on a daily basis because people just can't handle life. Federal government is on the verge of legalizing marijuana. It's already legal in many places around the world because it is said to relieve anxiety. You have the sale of alcohol that has reached new portions. New distilleries and breweries are opening every day. You know why? Because people are so anxious, so worried, that they try to find ways to calm themselves down. And rather than calming themselves down, they create more of a problem for themselves. But what are you really saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when you know Jesus, and when you come to trust him, then you can understand that anxiety does not have to exist. I don't want to get into the sensitivity of mental health concerns that exist in our medical communities. New clinics are opening every day. The branch of this particular area of human life has been brought to the forefront. There was a time when people didn't even want to discuss it. Growing up in a community, you know, we would see people and we would just say something wrong with them. And we never put a label on what that something was. But we all knew. And so there are different branches, different categories of anxiety that has led even into deeper personal concerns. The good news, again, is that it's unnecessary in a real sense. It really comes down out of two causes. It comes out of, one, ignorance, and secondly, perhaps, not trusting. Ignorance is simply not knowing. And unfortunately, there have been people who have grown up in churches and have been exposed to the Word of God that never got to the Word of God. Somebody used to say the preachers used to just give them jelly beans. No meat, no word, no deepness of an understanding of who God is. And when you grow up in a situation where you don't know who God is or what he has said in his word, then you are ignorant, unknowing what the word of God is and what God has promised and what kind of God we have to deal with. If you don't know who God is and if you don't know what he said and you don't know what kind of God you are dealing with, then yes, you end up losing it very easily because there's enough stuff out here on a daily basis. They can make you lose it all. So I'm glad this morning to be able to go beneath the surface of just the fact that Jesus came. See, you know, we know he lived and we know he died. All the preachers used to make emphasis of that. Oh, he died. But he didn't stay dead. Early Sunday morning. You know how it was. That was the essence of it. As a matter of fact, man, one preacher told me one time, you didn't preach. I said, okay. I said, what happened? He said, you didn't kill Jesus. Look, I'm not here to kill him today. I'm here to expose you to what he says. And if you understand what he says, some of what you're going through can be eliminated. So ignorance is the first reason people live with so much stress, worry, and anxiety. He says it at least three times in the text here this morning. In verse 22, he says to us, don't be anxious. In verse 29, he said, don't keep worrying. In verse 32, he said, don't keep worrying. Don't be anxious. So, you know, we can use word instead of do not. We can use the word stop. You can hear Jesus saying, stop being anxious. Stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Now, I know in my heart, because I know it's in me, that every one of us have some of this going on. There are times when we are absolutely worried. There are times when we are more nervous or more anxious than we need to be. And the truth be told, there are times when we are literally afraid. Yes, sir. I ain't going out like I used to go. No, sir, because I respect what's out there. Are you following that? Yeah, man, I go to the car, I got my keys. Got my hand, too. Look out, Vessel. So we have to understand that we worry about one or two kinds of things. We either worry about natural things or spiritual things. Natural things are fleshly. They have nothing to do with God. It's my life. It's what I need, what I want, what necessarily is troublesome to me. And you could give yourself a fit in that dimension. You can also worry about spiritual things. You could be concerned about the well-being of family members. You could be concerned about the well-being, the spiritual standing of a loved one, or a friend, or whatever it might be. And you can really get yourself really tripped out, if to use today's vernacular, in that concern. But I'm saying to you today that it's unnecessary. It really is. Worry, anxiety, and fear are unnecessary when we really understand what Jesus is offering. And what he's offering is an anxiety-free life, a worry-free life. How would you like to live like that? Somebody say, if he gave me a little bit more money, I might be able to do it. Then you have to worry about somebody taking it from you. So it's not that. We need to understand. You know, some people just don't know what the word has said because they just haven't been exposed to the word. And there are people who have been exposed to the word and still worry and still have fear. And that's called unbelief. Because either you're in one of two places. Either you don't know what it says, or you know what it says and you just don't believe it. And that's the basic definition of why we have this society with all of the anxieties, and rather we would rather choose one of these other alternatives to handle our problems rather than to trust what Jesus has come to give us. And that's the simple message this morning, but I want to give it to you anyway, because I want you to understand that that God knows who you are. He made you. And so what we need to understand, there are really five things I want to talk about this morning in the brief time that I have. So you might get it cut short a little bit today because I got to get communion. All right, first thing I want you to understand, why we worry, why we are anxious, and it's because it's a lack of understanding. Here it is, number one, of the priority of God. What God's priority is. See, Jesus is saying here, let's go back to verse 22. He said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. You know, don't be worried about that. What you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on it. People are just spaced out over what they're going to eat and what they're going to put on and how they look and all of those things like that, which means that you really don't understand God's priority for who you are. God made you, and God made you for his purpose, and he made you with a plan and for a plan to be fulfilled on the earth. You don't live on the earth just to eat. And you don't live on the earth just to look good. God didn't make you a mannequin. He wanted you to be a mannequin, he'd put you in a window somewhere. But he put you on the earth so that you can live and move and have your being. So what he wants for us, the priority for God, is that we are worshipers. That we know him, that we love him, that we live according to his purpose. We live in obedience to what he has declared and said. We try to understand and develop a level of holiness about ourselves so that we can live in ways that are pleasing to him. That's where the purpose is. That's where the priority of God is. And when we don't understand that priority, we end up worrying. Because secondly, and I'm gonna do this in a few minutes here. Secondly, we don't understand, or worrying comes from a lack of understanding of how and why and what God provides for us. Listen, if you live according to his purpose, he's gonna provide. How many know that? Yeah, and he's gonna provide for your life. He's gonna provide for your needs. Yes, he is. David writes in the psalm, he said, listen, I've been young and now I'm what? But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't have to worry about what you're gonna eat when you trust God. When you serve God, God will make a way. Is there anybody here know that he will make a way? And there's nothing or nobody that can stop him from making a way for his people when they're doing what he wants them to do. And you don't have to worry about how you look either, because God will do it. He'll color that hair. He will. He'll smooth that face. Eat right. I dare you. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. He'll shape that body. He will. I know you think you do, but he will. So our problem is we don't understand the priority of God for life. He said, consider the ravens. He said, they don't work nowhere. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't gather in the barns, and yet your father feeds them. Oh, what you worrying about? Aren't you more valuable than a bird, a raven, a buzzard? Come on now. I mean, they fly. Look, what do birds do? They hatch, and they flitter around on the earth. They fly for a while, then they disappear. No funeral, no obituary, no nothing. They just off and they gone. Okay? And the next day you see another one. And you don't know which one of them it was. But you are much more than a bird. You carry the heart of God in you. You carry the love of Jesus in you. You are the hands and feet of God on the earth. Has no hands but your hands. No eyes but your eyes. No feet but your feet. No mouth but your mouth. And because you have his spirit in you, you are much more than a bird. And if he so feeds the birds of the air, he will take care of you. When the prophet got in trouble because there was a drought in the Old Testament, God commanded the raven to feed him. You take food to my boy. God will make folk God will make enemies. God will do whatever is necessary to make it possible for his people when his people do what God wants them to do. But when you consume with all of this worry and anxiety over what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do, it means that you don't understand God's priority for your life. And you don't understand God's provision. Because he will provide. Yeah, he will. And he said, consider the lilies of the field. You know, now lilies, he's not talking about necessarily lilies because they have some necessary values. It's just that they were just wild grass. Just wild grass. And he said they grow. And he said, and not even Solomon. And if you don't know who Solomon is, read 1 Kings chapter 10 and 2 Chronicles chapter 9 to see the lavish lifestyle of Solomon. Solomon was the best dressed because he had the most money. I mean, he would lay it down. He had the silk threads and all of that. But you look at that silk through a microscope and you'll see it's not so attractive. But I tell you what, you pull a flower, a petal off of a flower, and you look at it through a microscope, you can't help but to say, whoa, God. When you start seeing the intricate details that God put in his flowers, not even Solomon in all of his glory could outdress a lily. And so God provides. God provides. He provides for us all of the time, even when you're not thinking he's providing. You be around the world, oh Lord, how am I going to make it? What am I going to do? And God says, shut up. That's why the songwriter say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God. You just need to talk to your father, okay? So we don't worry comes, anxiety comes from lack of understanding the priority of God, lack of understanding the provision of God. Thirdly, worry, anxiety, and fear come from the lack of understanding the privilege of God. The privilege of God. Touch somebody and say privilege. Look what he said. Right here in the verse for today, 25, verse 25. Okay? He says, and which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now you got to understand what the text is saying. Jesus, yes, you've heard these words before, right? You heard this in Matthew chapter 6. This we call the Sermon on the Mount. But what you got to understand about Jesus, he probably spoke these words many times. Good teachers do that. They teach truth over and over again because if it's true, it's true. See, when he talked in Matthew chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he was in Galilee. Now when we come to Luke 12, Jesus is in Judea. And this is just before, probably several months before going to the cross. But he's teaching the same truth. And listen to what he's talking about now. He's talking about the privilege that belonged to God. See, a cubit was a measure. It went from the tip of the elbow to the end of the fingertips. So it was about 18 inches. And he said, now, which one of you, by worrying, could add 18 inches to his height? How you going to go from 5'10 to 7'2"? Just by word. Man, I wouldn't want to do that. You know, I used to think when I was younger, you know, I wish I could be taller.
Me too, Reverend.
But I had to learn how to be all right with who I am. You know, because worrying about it certainly wasn't going to what? Wasn't going to change it. Okay, now listen to that. What he's really getting at is not so much adding length to your body. He's talking about adding length to your life. And there's absolutely nothing you can do to add length of years to your life. Because we live, move, and have our being in him. It's God's privilege to determine when we live on the earth and how long we live on the earth. And as long as we're fulfilling the purpose that he put us on the earth, he keeps us here. And he provides for us every day because he knows why he has us here. And when you learn to trust him, learn to know that God did not make a mistake when he made you, when he put you here in the 21st century with all of the challenges of life, he knows what you need and he provides for that need. And so by worrying, you're not going to add any more days to your life. I know that there are some things. Don't misunderstand the passage. Now, yes, you're to do some things to help yourself. You're to eat in moderation. You're to enjoy the world. God has made it with all of its variety of opportunities and privileges. God is not saying you just have to sit in a shell somewhere. Peter Pumpkin Eater had a wife and could not keep her. He put her in a what? Pumpkin shell, and there he kept her. That's not who God is. And that's not how God treats you. He doesn't put you in a pumpkin shell to keep you very well. He puts you on the earth. And he takes care of your needs while you live on the earth. Are you with me this morning? But you got to know that the privilege of my life is God's privilege. You know, it's his blessing. He determines. He puts everybody on earth, and everybody is on a course. And some people have short courses, and some people have long courses. Now, who determines that? God does. So why are you going to worry about that? Listen to what the analogy is. If you can't add 18 inches to your height, why are you going to worry about any of the rest of it? Why are you going to worry about what you're going to eat? Why are you going to worry about what you're going to drink? Why are you going to worry about how long you're going to live? Oh, no, please, Jesus, not tonight. A man in church was preaching one time, and he said, how many people want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand, except one man. The preacher looked at him and said, hey, man, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, well, I thought you were getting a busload today. Not today. Not today, Pastor. You can't worry about that. There are some things that are God's business that I want to stay God's business. He doesn't have to tell me all of that. What they said today and today, well, that's too much information. So some things you need to understand, you need to trust him with. And allow him to take care of you. Understand, it was his priority to put you on earth at this particular time, in this particular season. And he provides for you all of the days that you are on the earth. And he knows how long that's going to be. So he's already planned your retirement. And what you're going to need. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be stupid either. It means you use the common sense that he gives you to put something aside and to spend moderately and not to be over extravagant in the things that you do so that you can be able to move forward as the Lord intends. But at the same time, you don't have to be going, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh. You will shorten your life. Like that. Are you with me? So why do we worry? Why are we afraid? Why do we fear? Because we don't understand the priority of God. We don't understand the provision of God. We don't understand the privilege of God. God is the one who speaks and we live. And God is the only one that can speak and life comes to a close. And when we understand that, we can stop worrying about some of this. And then number four, we fail. We worry because we don't understand the paternity of God. Paternity, meaning the fatherhood of God. He's our father. The text said, he knows what things you have need of. That's your heavenly father, see. It's not, you know, sometimes we be worried and say, boy, if God knew where I was, God knows no. It's not that he's ever ignorant. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's in every place. And he's omnipotent. He has all of the power. See, he knows your uprising. And he knows your down city. He knows your thoughts are far off. There's not a word in your mouth that the Lord doesn't know altogether. So he knows your frame. He knows your design. He knows what's wrong, everything. Man, the other day I took my car to the Cadillac place because a light came on. Light came on. So I drove up in there and I said, hey, man, I don't know what this is. And so he said, wait just a minute, Pastor. And he took out a little tool and he pulled out something on that side and he put the tool up in there. And a few minutes later, he had a reading. He said, oh, I see what this is. He says, this valve, such and such. And he told me what it was. He said, let me check and see if we got it. And he called me a few minutes later. He said, yeah, we can get this done today. I said, good. And I went on my merry way. Look, when life breaks down, you need to know who got the reading, who knows exactly what's wrong and knows exactly how to fix it, knows how long it's going to take to get it done, and has in stock whatever it is that needed. Listen, don't you remember Jesus on the earth? He came across a blind man, couldn't see. Listen, he just dipped down in the earth and spit, made some mud and put it on his eyes and said, go wash. And the man came back, I can see. I mean, he gave people limbs that had not walked. He didn't have to order nothing from nowhere because he had it in his hand. And listen. When I was a kid, man, I thank God for Henry. My dad, he's in heaven. And he would look at us sometime. He knew what was wrong. He knew what we needed. He knew when I needed some shoes because he saw him talking. Oh, y'all don't remember that. We used to have to wear shoes till they talk, baby. Some of the today's generation don't understand that, but some of the older folk know what that is. Yes, sir. That soul started coming loose. Yeah. But he knew. Now, when I was playing basketball in high school, all the boys had those Chuck Taylor Converse. He said, now, I'm going to get you some tennis shoes. They ain't going to have Chuck Taylor. He said, I don't care nothing about name brand, but I'm going to get you some shoes because you need some shoes. He knew what I needed. You got to understand a father. A father is a provider. A father anticipates challenges and trouble, and he stays on top of it. And he makes the provision based upon his ability. In some cases, there was some, he had so many children, he couldn't provide all that he wanted, but he knew what the need was. But look at your heavenly Father, who is not limited by anything, who has it all in his hand, all of the power, all of the resources. And if he knows what you need, he will supply your every need. Is there anybody here know that God will supply? This is what I'm talking about. Knowing what kind of God you have. Jesus said on another occasion when he was teaching, he said, and which of you, if your child asked for a fish, you'll give him a scorpion. You wouldn't do that to your child. He said, neither will your heavenly Father. This is the first time in Luke's gospel that Jesus mentions Father. But he's talking about God as our Father. And if God is our Father, that should change the relationship as to how we view life. Father has designed you for his purpose. And he promises to provide for your need as long as you are on the earth. It's his privilege to determine how long that is. So he knows how much provision you need. And because he's your father, he promises to oversee your life and to meet you at the point of your every need. Why are you worrying? Jesus is offering you an anxiety-free life, that you don't have to worry, that you don't have to be afraid. So he's saying, stop worrying. He's saying, stop being afraid. Stop being anxious. Because you have a Father in heaven who knows what you need. And let me go on to a close, because I need at least a few minutes to get this in. And it is his pleasure. Oh, y'all missed it. You got to understand his priority. You got to understand his provision. You got to understand his privilege. You got to understand the paternity of God. And you got to know it's his pleasure. He delights in blessing you. He enjoys taking care of you. Man, I know y'all do, because we do it in our family, in our household. But on those special days, Christmas, birthdays, and all those kind of days like that, we can't wait to see the children's face, because we know we got them. You know you done set them up. You know they've been worried. Look at that. That they're not going to get it. That they're not going to have it. And you smiling all along because you know what you have done. You know you got the provision. And you just can't wait for them to tear into it, because you know when they tear into it, they're going to explode with delight, because you blessed them. And it did your heart good to be able to bless them. Man, I wish you could see God's face. I wish you could see the smile on his face and the joy that it brings to his heart to bless you. You know, God doesn't want you to just try to eke by just a hair. Not to get through. No, he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. If we could ever understand that, we could live like that. We don't have to live like we are poverty children. Listen, my father is rich in houses and land. He holds the wealth of the world in the hollow of his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. You know, listen, this world, we see poverty and things like that. It's not because the world doesn't produce it. It's because of the greed of others, of wicked men. You see pictures of starving children in Africa. It's not that Africa or the earth doesn't produce enough food. Is that you have greedy warlords that seize control of it and doesn't allow it to get down to the place of greatest need. Look at just what happened in Gaza. It wasn't that there was not food for people there, but you had evil men who interfered with the shipment of food that was designed for starving people. I wish I could help somebody this morning. Listen, God delights in blessing you. You think that little outfit you got on is all that God got for you? I wish you would open your eyes. I wish you could see just how much the Lord has for you. Again, I'm going to say, stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Stop being afraid. You got a Father in heaven who delights in protecting you. He got whatever it is. Jesus said, man, he was talking to Pilate, and Pilate telling him what he going to do. Jesus said, you can't do nothing unless my Father let you in on something. Because if I needed him to, he'll send legions of angels. You don't have to worry about how you going to protect yourself. God got a heavenly host. Do you remember in the Old Testament in the city of Dothan, one day King Ben-Hadad came down and he had his Syrian soldiers and came down looking for the prophet. And the prophet sent his young minister out. He said, go see what they want. He wouldn't even go out there. And he came back in. My Lord, he said, they have soldiers everywhere. He said, God, open this boy's eyes and let him see who's with us. And he opened his eyes, and there were chariots of fire all around. You don't have to be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, because thou, you just got to know who thou is. Thou who raises the sun, who marches it across the blue ether, who sets it down behind the western hill. Thou who wakes me up in the morning, who keeps me clothed in my right mind. Thou who understands how to feed the grass, how to make the birds sing. Thou, when you know that the Lord is on your side, you don't have to be afraid. So I want you to do something this morning. I want you to tell yourself, no more. No more anxiety. No more worry. No more fear. Because I trust what the Lord said. Now, you can't declare ignorance now. It's a question now of whether or not you're going to believe what the words say. Jesus said again in Mark chapter 11, he said, when you pray, believe that you shall receive it and you shall have it. You got to learn how to believe it. You got to learn how to say, Lord, this is Michael or whatever your name is, and this is what I'm asking for, and I believe that you can do it and you will do it, and it's done. And walk away from it with your head up. Jesus, Jesus, just the mention of your name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Jesus, 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 just the mention of your name. You're the only living God. You're the only righteous God. You're the only God of gods. And when you know that he's with you, you don't have to worry. So stop it today. Stop it. Stop it. It's done. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He'll show you where it is. He'll show you who to go to. He'll show you where, what you need to do. Come on, baby, doors of the church open. Doors open. Somebody need to know Jesus today. Just the mention of your name. That's all you need to know today. Thank you. dear brothers and sisters, we are so thankful and grateful that God is the only living God, only righteous God.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.